Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you that no matter what comes our way, as we walk in your presence, as we walk according to your leading, that we are not alone, that we are never alone, that we are never abandoned, that the situation is never impossible, because through you all things are possible. And Lord, we give you thanks today that though trials may come, we are called to find joy in the trials. Because through trials and suffering comes perseverance. And Jesus, I just ask today that you would help us to move into a place of being excited when we have the opportunity to give of ourselves for your glory and honor. And that we would recognize that we are able to make it through. That nothing is too big because you are with us. Mm-hmm. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can all have a seat today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, music team. Thank you. So I wonder today, I want you to think, just right off the bat, I want you to think of the person in this world that you would be gobsmacked if they invited themselves to your house. The person in this world where you would just be like, they're so amazing. They're so beyond the normal person. They're such a wonderful human being. And I don't compare to them. Do you all have that person? Maybe it's a celebrity. Maybe it's somebody that was a mentor in your life. Maybe in your mind you're like, yeah, Jesus. I mean, that's a good answer. It's maybe a cop out, but it's a good answer, right? So I want you to imagine that person came to your house and you're like, wow, this is so much. And then they went over to the bathroom that you haven't cleaned the toilet on, for about 3 months. And all of a sudden you saw them get down on their hands and knees and grab the toilet brush and they started to clean out your toilet. How would you feel? Like, would you feel really comfortable in that moment? Would you be like, this is amazing? Or would you just, no, you can't do that. Stop it. That's not for you to do. And it's not like we despise those in our society who clean toilets. We thank God for the people that clean our toilets, right? Just, it shouldn't be that person. Am I right? Like, this is awkward at the very least. I know that's how I'd be feeling. I'd be like, I don't know how I feel about this. But this is exactly how Jesus's followers, his students, otherwise known as his disciples, it's what they experienced when he washed their feet. And in that moment, what he began to show them is that there is no act of service that is below even those who are greatest. And in fact, then he went on to tell them, if I've done this and you're not greater than I am, nothing's below you. We've been in the midst of a series where it's called When You Don't Know How to Share, Just Bless. And what we've brought to light here is for those of us who follow Jesus, I think most of us recognize that before Jesus left this earth, he said some important words. He sent all who follow him with his message, telling us to go and make disciples, new followers, to baptize them and to teach them to obey all that he had done for them. And we're like, yes, people need to follow Jesus. That's amazing. Pastor, evangelist, missionary, you should go do that. Because let's be honest, right? We don't know how to share. We don't. Like, there is so much tension that we experience oftentimes in our world where we're like, man, I just feel this push that I should be telling this person about Jesus, or I should invite them to church, or I should just invite them to have an honest conversation, and something in us is just like, nah, I don't want to. I don't know what to say. I might look like an idiot. What am I supposed to do? I don't want to be one of those people. And so that's why we brought out this bless paradigm. And we've gone over many of them, but let me go over what the whole paradigm, it's an acronym, okay? And it stands for begin with prayer, listen, eat, serve, and share. And so we've done the first three. We've talked about the first three. And so today we're going to talk about serve. About how the very act of serving others leads us to a place of openness where we can begin to share. Where we can know how to share. And so there's this power in what we've done so far, but there is power in serving as well. Right? Now, there might be some of you here and you're like, I may have come on the wrong week because I don't even follow this Jesus guy and I don't think I really need to know any of this stuff. And so let me, before you just check out or you're online and you start to click out of the video, let me just encourage you that you can actually use this so that when somebody who you know is a Christian is out there and they're doing nice things for you, or maybe they hit you with like the hard gospel. You know what I mean? Like they're one of those people that grabs you by the collar and goes, just so you know, you're going to hell. You need Jesus. You can just be like, they didn't hear Pastor Stephen's message. So stick around. But I think it's so important that before we carry on, everything we do should begin with prayer. Am I right? So join me in praying. Heavenly Father, today I thank you for every person that is here in this room. I thank you for every person that is downstairs with the children, Lord. I thank you for those that are tuning in online. And God, I ask today for a special blessing for them. God, that you would give them a peace in the midst of all the chaos that's going on in this world. God, that you would help them to experience your presence today and that you would help us to grow together through what it is you want to show us in your word, the Bible. So God, please take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. So what I want to do today is I want to go to that story I referenced earlier in the Bible. It's in a book called John. And John is a book in the New Testament of the Bible that was written by a follower of Jesus, someone that was actually there in the moment. He recorded what Jesus did for the sole purpose of being able to share it through future generations so that people could know just how great Jesus is. And so we come to John chapter 13, and this is what we read. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and to return to the Father. So Jesus knows that the crucifixion is coming. He knows that torture is coming. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never ever wash my feet," right? "You will never ever clean my toilet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." And Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and my head as well, Lord, not just my feet." And Jesus replied, "A person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you." For Jesus knew who would betray him. This is what he meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." Think about that. I want to bring across to you, like, we kind of covered how you would feel if somebody important came into your house and started to clean your bathroom, but how many of you understand that we're not in a society that would run on an honor and shame culture? I mean, really, if you just follow a lot of the most famous and influential people on social media, you would understand that we are not an honor and shame culture, right? But the Judean people, their culture is one of honor and shame. What that means is that protecting your reputation and your dignity was of the utmost importance. In fact, having honor was like a credit rating, if you will. What it meant is if you had a really high honor score, you would receive privilege and prestige. People would be expected to serve you a certain way, be expected to treat you a certain way. Now, can I share with you, washing feet was not great for your honor score. It wasn't. But us, we're not like that. What we're taught is that more power and more wealth equals more leverage to get others to serve. But what did Jesus teach? Jesus taught that true strength and true meaning in life comes from serving others in love. Here is the God of the universe in human flesh, and he goes, "I'm going to serve. I'm going to do the role of a servant in this moment." See, the simple message of Jesus is this: it's your turn to serve as Jesus served. It's our turn. But we like to sit there and we're like, "No, I want to be served." Right? I want the Christian smorgasbord. I want to feel comfortable. I want everything given to me. I want the programs that I want. I want the comfortable seats. I want to take a nap in church and not have a loud preacher that tries to wake me up when he sees me snoring. But through prayer, listening, and eating, the things that we have done so far, as we do those things with the people that God has sent us to share the message with, suddenly we gain a greater understanding of how we can serve. Right? If you've been listening and you're hearing, "Oh man, they're struggling in this way, or there's this pain point, or there's this thing over here, or they absolutely love their coffee," then you know suddenly some ways that you can show God's love to them. But I also want to point something out. Some of us think that the only way to serve someone is to go out of our way to do things for them. But can I share with you, sometimes we might be called to do things alongside them. Sometimes the best form of service that you can do is to go out and say, "Hey, I'll help you with that." Or, "Hey, you're doing that nice thing over there. You're painting that neighbor's fence. I'll grab a paintbrush. I'll be right over. I'll help you paint that fence. Let's serve together." Or maybe it's serving that person in many small ways, right? It's just little tiny pieces that build and build and build and build. Or perhaps it's that one big thing that requires a big step of faith on your part, because you're like, "This is scary, this is big, maybe this is expensive, or this is demeaning, or I don't know. What is it?" But it's your turn to serve as Jesus served. Now, I got to share something with you. I don't know if you're aware of this, but in In the ancient Near East, in other words, in the land of Judea, in that area, at the time that Jesus lived, people generally wore sandals. And I know that there's probably a few people here today in our culture of bathing on a regular basis and manicures and pedicures and all the different lotions and all of that. When you think of someone sticking their feet in your face, you gig. Right? Well, I want to share with you that in Jesus' day, the average person walked everywhere they went, probably didn't own a set of nail clippers. There really wasn't a lot of ways to treat like foot fungus or different things like that. You know, they might pick up some thorns and some brambles and have cuts all over there. They definitely weren't waxing or shaving anything. Just saying. Let's be honest, right? Calloused, blistered, curly black toenails, you know, little bit of toe cheese. There we go. That's what Jesus was willing to get down, get in his face, and scrub. So picture that. See, we like to be like, yeah, Jesus went to these nice, clean people. Like we read this. If you've been to Sunday school and you saw those kids' illustrated Bibles and they're telling this story, right? You've got all these clean, white feet. And it's like, well, no big deal, right? Maybe there's a little bit of sock lint, but who cares? It's maybe a little stinky. No. This is gross. And I think that Jesus was down there and he's not just like, da-da-da-da-da, a little bit of water. All right, you're good. Like, picture him just sitting there like, oh, in between your toes is kind of gross, man. Then he's like, if I did it, you have no excuse. It's your turn to serve as Jesus served. See, Jesus didn't hold any form of service as beneath him. So let me ask you, are you greater than Jesus? Because how many of us know that we act like we're better than Jesus? Right? You feel a little prompting, someone asks you to help out with something, you're like, no. No way. That's not me. Uh-uh. I want to share with you a story that author Dave Ferguson tells about his grandma Nellie. So grandma Nellie, she lived through the Great Depression, through World War II. And her husband passed away when they were about 50 years old. And so she lived alone for 30 years after her husband had passed. And in that 30 years, she lived in the exact same neighborhood and blessed her neighbors in many big and small ways. But one that always stuck out to her grandson was that across the street, there was a younger neighbor. 85-year-old Grandma Nellie would be over having coffee and scones, eating, listening to this neighbor. And the way that Dave Ferguson puts it, this younger neighbor, let's just say, was not a healthy weight, was not in good health. And it soon became apparent to Grandma Nellie that this neighbor, this poor neighbor, couldn't clip her toenails. And I try to say this delicately, couldn't reach her toenails. Okay. So Grandma Nellie went, well, I'll do that for you. Now, as you can imagine, if somebody offered to clip your toenails and it wasn't like the manicurist that you pay to do such a thing, it's a friend that you have over for tea, your first reaction is, that ain't happening, sorry. But Grandma Nellie continued, no, you need this. I'm willing to do it. I'll come by once a week and I will clip your toenails. Did you know that 85-year-old woman would lay down her pride, would go across the street each week to bend down and clip toenails as an act of love and an opportunity to show who Jesus is until the day that she died? Would you? I know I'd struggle. I'd be like, your toenails are your business. I'll pay for you to go somewhere and get them done. You know what I mean? That's not what Grandma Nellie did. And she took that opportunity as she was doing that to share and to bless, to be with, and to continue to listen as she served. I don't know. I know that Jesus didn't hold any form of services beneath him, but something in me goes, I don't want to do that. But then I'm hit with the reality. Does that mean I think I'm greater than Jesus? Does that mean I won't bring myself as low as the God of the universe? That's a sobering thought. So I think that we're called to serve. But I know sometimes as we're praying, as we are listening, as we are eating with others, we still may not be able to figure out ways to serve, right? And so I want to help you by showing you how to identify areas to serve your neighbors. And again, that same author, he actually in his book gives a great acronym. He calls it the RPMs, okay? The RPMs. And so we're going to go through those really briefly here. So if you're wanting to take things down, make sure that you're taking notes or snapping pictures because I'm not waiting for you. All right. So here we go. How to serve or identify areas to serve your neighbors. First of all, ask, how are they doing relationally? As you've been listening to them, as you've been eating with them, as you've been praying for them, consider, have you heard anything about their home life or about their marriage or about their significant other, the girlfriend, the boyfriend, the fiance? Have you heard anything about their kids? How are their kids doing? How is their friend's circle looking? What have they said about their work relationships? What have they said about their other friends? Are they healthy friends or are they people that are tearing them down? How are they doing relationally? And I think that you can all fill in the blanks, right? If in answer to these questions that we go through today, these RPMs, if somewhere you go, wow, I've heard that things aren't great there, that should be like your cue. Oh, I should look at serving in some way there. I should be a friend. I should ask them how they're doing, right? I should let them know I'm praying for their kids. I should invite them out to dinner, whatever it might be. So how are they doing relationally? Secondly, the P, how are they doing physically? How's their health? Have they mentioned that they're completely fried, like unable to do anything? They're just so tired. Do they mention that they wish they could exercise, but they can't motivate themselves? Maybe those of you that are gym fanatics, you could be like, well, come to the gym with me. How are they eating? How are they sleeping? These are cues that might help you begin to come up with creative ways to address the needs in order to serve. So how are they doing relationally? How are they doing physically? How are they doing mentally? This is a big one these days, right? Are they dealing with anxiety? Are they dealing with depression? Have you noted mood swings? Don't mention that you've noticed these things, by the way. Okay? Guys, I'm specifically talking to you. Don't mention that you've noticed these things in your wife. Bad news. Bad news. I'm just telling you. Have you noticed anxiety or depression, mood swings? Have you seen them looking to learn anything new? Are they looking to better their minds? Do they fall into unhealthy thought patterns, right? Are they just constantly negative? All they can talk about is terrible government or that terrible person that hurt me 35 years ago or whatever it might be. How can you serve them to bring joy to their mental state? Finally, how are they doing spiritually? Do they mention that they have a sense of something missing in their life? When you see something's going wrong and you say, hey, can I pray for you? Do they like recoil at that or do they go, yeah, I'd love that? Are they spiritually curious? Are they initiating spiritual conversations with you? Do you see them moving closer to God or further away? Those are the RPMs: relationally, physically, mentally, spiritually. These are categories that we can use as we consider the people that God is calling us to reach, as we have been praying for them, as we have been listening to them and eating alongside them. We are able to pick up on these things and go, there's something there. God, give me the wisdom to know how to share, or to serve in that area, to address that in a gracious manner that brings love and peace, and most importantly, Jesus, into that area. Once you find the need, let me encourage you to go out and serve in a way that addresses the need. It's always one thing, right, to just go, oh yeah, I see the problem. But are you willing to step out of yourself to start addressing the problem? And in the midst of that, I want us all to understand, some of us, we might be thinking to ourselves, well, I know that all these people here, they know about this problem or that problem that I'm having, and they're not serving me. But listen, that's not what this is about. This isn't about us identifying categories where people should be serving us. This is about us identifying categories where we can serve others. And as we serve others, we can know that soon there will be others that are serving us and praying for us and blessing us. Right now, I want you to imagine what your friendship circles would be like, what our community would be like, if all of a sudden Christians throughout the world became effective, personal, caring ministers through intentional service. There used to be a time where hospitals were set up by Christians almost exclusively, where adoptions were the domain of Christians, where they stepped into the gaps of society, into the brokenness in people's lives, and were willing to give it all, even if it meant the society threw rocks at them or fed them to lions, all in the name of doing what was right to bring glory and honor to Jesus. Imagine how that would shift things if instead of talking about our rights, instead of talking about our freedoms, we began to utilize the things that we so desperately claim to want to protect, and we're willing to give those things up in service of Jesus Christ in our world. Imagine if churches were no longer perceived as irrelevant or places that spend everything on themselves, but became places, churches and Christians, where people knew that there were people that care about them. And while it might not be a place that just gives handouts everywhere, that there were people that were genuinely invested in them, what would that be like? And so as we step towards a world that's more like that, let me give you one thing to do this week. Think of the person whose salvation God has you praying for right now. And then use the RPMs to identify some ways that you will begin serving the people God is calling you to serve. So there's a little bit of onus on you here. And so let me encourage you, a lot of you know other people in this church. And if you don't, you know other people. Let me encourage you that after service, you find someone and you say, here's my number. Will you shoot me a text on Wednesday to find out how I'm doing on this? Right, because it's really easy for us to listen to a message, be like, oh, that's so good. And go out for lunch and be like, wasn't that so great? Yeah. And then we go home and we just go back to the way that things always are. And the next week we get a new message and we go, oh, and we just carry on the way that we are. So what if we decided in ourselves, let's get someone here to hold me accountable, because Pastor Stephen's not in the business of kicking butts. But if we want to see change, we need to kick each other's butts voluntarily. All right? Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every person in this room and online right now. Lord, I thank you for the desire that they have. I'm trusting that they have to serve others, to serve you, Lord, to share the great truth that has so impacted their lives. And so, Jesus, I ask that you would help us to be attentive to the needs around us, that we would step outside of our comfort zones to begin to interact with those that might even make us uncomfortable, but to bring blessings to the situation, to truly listen to them, to invite them out to barbecues or to eat, and that we would begin to serve them in intelligent ways that show that we recognize them as people. And Lord, that as always, you would be working in the background to bring people closer to you. Right now, as you all continue to pray where you're at, I want to address anybody that hasn't given their life to Jesus. Maybe you're in this room, maybe you're online right now. I want you to know that that same Jesus who washed feet willingly allowed himself to be brutally tortured and murdered to pay for all that we do that offends the heart of God. All that we do that doesn't meet up to what we were created to be. And so today in this place online, if as you hear about this Jesus who died to save you, who died to bring you into a relationship with God, I want to bring across to you today that Jesus isn't disgusted by your sin. He isn't repulsed by the dirtiness of your heart, but instead he desires to wash you clean. He is the God that died for you, the God that rose again to show that he is who he is and that death has no power over Christ. And so today, if you want to give your life to Jesus, I want to encourage you that if in your heart you want to make this commitment for the first time today, that you would raise your hand while no one's looking around here in this place online, that you can go ahead and put in the comments there, I've decided to follow Jesus. Awesome. Will you all pray this prayer with me and just know that if you pray this prayer from your heart, that you are entering into a relationship with Jesus Christ and that in that, no matter what happens in life, as you seek to serve him, you are his and he is yours. Will everyone pray with me? Heavenly Father, I know that you see me as I really am. And I thank you that you love me and that you accept me, but that you also love me too much to leave me where I'm at. Today I'm giving you my life. Please give me yours. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and transform me by your love. I commit to following you for all my days. And I thank you that when I fall on my face, you don't leave me. You don't abandon me, but you pick me up, you dust me off, and you walk with me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart today and gave your life to Jesus for the first time, let me invite you in-house to fill out that Connect card in the seat back in front of you and give it to Bobby, who has a Bible and some devotional material she'd love to give you as well. We would love to just be able to connect with you online. We have the same for you through our digital portal there. If you want to go to ascc.life, tap on I just gave my life to Jesus and fill out that form and submit it. We would love to be able to get a Bible and some resources into your hands. Just before we go, Pastor Ewan wants to share with us just a couple things that are coming up, so will you please come?